Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Yud. We are holding on daf Tes Amid Beis. We're holding a Tanu Rabbanan about 7 lines from the end of the page on daf Tes Amid Beis. We were discussing yesterday the difference between giving a cherishot of a trusting cherishot of a katan with an eish versus a shor and a bar. That it could be that a person gives cherishot of a katan, a shor and a bar, he's going to be chayiv, but an eish he's not going to be chayiv. So once we mention that, the Gemara elaborates on the differences between eish, shor, and bar. Some of the chumras that each one has over the other, we're going to compare all three to each other. Then the Gemara is going to give explanations as to why certain things were left out of that brisa, certain chumras that one seems to have over the other that were left out of that brisa. For example, the chiyuv on kelim is not listed as something that's chomer b'shar mi b'bar, that a shar is chayiv on kelim, but a bar is part from kelim, or damaging psulei mekdashim is not listed as a chomer b'shar mi b'bar, that a shar who damages psulei mekdashim is going to be chayiv, but a bar that damages psulei mekdashim is not going to be chayiv. Then toward the bottom of Amud Bey, of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Bey, Gemara is going to give 5 suggestions of cases that the Mishnah might have been talking about, where the Mishnah says hichsharti b'miktsas nizko, even though I'm only partially responsible for the nezek, I'm going to be chayiv in the tashlumin of the entire nezek. What's a case where a person is only partially responsible, but he's going to pay for the whole thing? We're going to have 5 suggestions. Then as the lines get wide on Amud Bey, Gemara is going to give 3 sources that Bailim are metaplim binevela, that the halacha is that if I damage your animal, if I kill your animal, that part of your payment is going to be taking whatever the value of the carcass of that animal is, and then I make up the difference. But I don't have to take the carcass myself and then give you the entire amount. So the Gemara is going to have 3 sources for that din, and the Gemara is going to explain why we need 3 different sources for that very same din, that Bailim is metaplim binevela. So let's pick up. We are at Tanu Rabbanan, about 7 lines from the end of the page, on daf tesam base. Tanu Rabbanan, chomer b'shar mi b'bar, chomer b'bar mi b'shar. That in a certain sense, shar is more strict than bar. In a certain sense, bar is more strict than shar. Tosus points out, when we use the term shor over here, generally speaking, shor could mean keren, it could mean regel, it could mean shein. Over here, it's clear what it means. Tosus points out, hai shor, hainu keren, k'demuch b'kula shmaitin. Clearly, from context, we're going to see that shor over here means keren and only keren, when the shor damages by goring or by doing something with kavanaso lahazik. So what are the various chumras of each one over the other? Chumra b'shomri b'bar shashar m'shalim is a kofar. Shor is more strict because shor pays kofar. We'll see exactly what that means in the sugya later on, what the kofar is, the value of the person. Of the person. When a shor kills, he pays the value of the person. Of which person? The person that he killed, the owner of the shor, but whatever it is, he pays kofer. V'chayiv b'shloshim shal eved. He's also chayiv if he kills an eved to pay shloshim kesef. And nigmar dino asr ba'na'ah. If a shor kills and then has a gemar din that he killed, so that animal is going to be asr ba'na'ah. And v'darko leilech lahazik. The derech of a shor is to go and damage. It doesn't say stay stationary. It moves and damages. Mashain kein babar. None of these things apply to a bar. Fractosos, I could have thought of something else that a shor has over a bar. A shor is balei chayim. A bar is not balei chayim. So Tos points out, yeah, that's included in darko leilech ulahazik. That obviously anything that's not balei chayim is not going to be darko leilech ulahazik. Or anything that is balei chayim is going to be darko leilech ulahazik. And the Tos points out, kavanas lahazik lo shayach l'misni gabe bar shein balei chayim. And it's not even shayach to talk about kavanas lahazik, because it's not shayach kavana by a bar. You can't even envision what that would be. So that's why kavanas lahazik is not listed as one of the chumras of shor over bar. Now, 2 lines from the bottom, chomer b'bar mi b'shor. In certain ways, bar is stricter than shor, in the sense that shabor tchilas asyasa l'nezek. Bar, initially, when you first dig a bar, it's primed for damage. Umuad mitchilaso. And it's a muad at the very outset. It's expected to do damage at the very outset. Mashain kein bashar, as opposed to a shor. A shor starts off as a peaceful animal. We assume it's a short time until we know otherwise, until it actually does damage. Chomer bishor mi ba'esh. Shara certain chomer is over esh, in the sense that, and chomer b'esh mi bishar, and esh a certain chomer is over shor, meaning there are certain reasons to believe that shor should be more strict and more chayiv than esh, and certain reasons to believe that esh should be more strict and more reason to be mechayiv than by shor. What are those reasons? Chomer bishor mi ba'esh, shah shor mishalim kofer, v'chayiv b'shloshim shaleved, nigmar dino asr ba'na'a, masal cher shot v'katan chayiv. Four things that a shor is over esh. Number one, that it pays kofer if it kills. Number two, you pay shloshim shaleved if it kills an eved. Number three, that it becomes asr ba'na'a when it has a gemar din against that shor that it killed. And number four, if you entrust a shor with a cher shot of a katan and it does damage, you're going to be chayiv. Ma she'ein kein ba'esh. And none of these things are true when it comes to an esh. What are the chumras in the other direction? Chumra be'esh mi b'shar, esh a certain chumras over shar, she'esh mu'adis mitchilasa, mashen kin b'shar. Just one chumra over shar, that an esh is mu'ad mitchilasa, that it's assumed to be capable and ready to damage initially when you make a fire. Fire does not discriminate, it just does damage. As opposed to by a shar, where we assume it starts out as a tam, and only once it's proven itself to be a willing damager do we assume that it becomes a mu'ad. Now, Rashi explains, when we say that the chumras of a shor over esh, that esh that burns a person, the bali esh are pata from kofer and from shloshim, like the Gemara says, those are some of the chumras, because the nisraf should have run away from the fire. That's why when your fire burns somebody, you're not going to have to pay the kofer. When your fire burns an eved, you're not going to have to pay shloshim shaleved. The nisraf should have run away. He should never have gotten burnt. He should have been boreach. Says Rashi, what if it burnt a guy who was tied down and he couldn't move, he was stuck? So then you're going to say that you're going to be chayiv shloshim and shalevet, and you're going to be chayiv kofer even by an esh? Obviously not, he says. Nevertheless, you're going to be pater, Rashi explains, from the kofer, because you're chayiv for, if the guy was tied down, then you're chayiv misa for killing the guy. And kam le bidrab mine, you're not going to have to pay any money because you're going to be chayiv misa for killing the person. So the Rishonim are not so pleased with this Rashi for several reasons. The later on in Daf Chav Beis, we're going to have a very well, probably the most famous sugya, Masechus Baba Kama. When a person lights a fire and the fire does damage, how do we view the damage that's done by the fire? Do we say isho mishum chitzo, that when a person's fire does damage, it's like shooting an arrow, and it's like he's directly doing damage. It's as if he's mazik biadayim, just like when you shoot an arrow and it damages. That's considered your action. That is the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Or do we assume like Reish Lakish, who says isho mishum mamono, that when your fire does damage, it's much more like your ox going and doing damage. Something that you own happens to go out and do that damage. So the Gemara in Chav Beis and Beis is going to tell us that if a person is madlik a gadish, he lights something on fire, and a person who is tied down and could not move gets burnt by that fire, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Yechayiv Misa for being madlik, because it's your action. So it's as if you killed him biyadayim. But according to Reish Lakish, it's like your shor went and killed him, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv misa. So what's Rashi saying over here? If the guy was tied down and your esh burnt him, you're not going to be chayiv for the shloshim shalevet. You're not going to be chayiv kofer, because anyway you're chayiv misa. That works very well if you assume isho mishum chitzo, that you in fact are chayiv misa. But if you assume isho mishum mimono, then you're not chayiv misa. So Rashi is assuming Dafka Lafi, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Rishon Mishum Chitzo, according to Reish Lakish, you're part of Ramisa, so then why Taka aren't? Don't you have to pay Kofer or Shloshim Shalevin when the guy is tied down? Furthermore, the Rishonim ask on Rashi, the Gemara Chav Gimel Amud Aleph is going to talk about lighting a fire in a chatzer, and then the fence by that chatzer falls down, and nothing to do with the Dleika, nothing to do with the fire, the wall around that chatzer falls down, and you should have rebuilt it, but you didn't build it, and now the fire is able to get out of that chatzer and to go burn something down in the neighboring chatzer. So you're not chayv mishum chitzov, because kalu lo chitzov. And Rabbi Yochanan would be modded in that case, they chayv mishum mamono. What if there was a person tied down in the neighboring courtyard? It would turn out that in that case, even Rabbi Yochanan, everyone would say that Rabbi Yisha Mishumimono, that you're not Chayiv Misa. So how can Rashi say that whenever you're killing a person with your fire, you're automatically Chayiv Misa? Even Rabbi Yochanan would agree in certain limited circumstances that it only has the Nevi Yisha Mishumimono. Furthermore, the Rishona point out that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Yisha Mishumchitzo, the Chi of Eish is Midin Adam Amazik. The Brice is talking over here of Chomer Bishar Mibe'esh. So the Brice means an Eish that you're Chayiv Mishum Mamono, not an Eish that you're Chayiv Misa on. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any Chomer Bishar Mibe'esh. So these are the kashas the Rishonim have on Rashi. The Rishonim work on these kashas to be Miyashiv Rashi and to come up with alternative explanations. Weiter in the Brisa. The Brisa goes on to say, Chomer Be'esh mi Babar, V'chomer Babar mi Be'esh. In a certain sense, Eish has more reason to be chayiv than bar, and in a certain sense, bar has more reason to be chayiv than eish. How so? Chomer b'bar mi be'eish. Bar is more reason to be chayiv than eish. Shetchilas asiyas alenezek, because a bar initially is made for damage. Masel cherishot v'katon chayiv. And if you give a bar to a cherishot v'katon to watch, you're going to be chayiv for anything that happens. Mashen ken be'eish, as opposed to be'eish, none of that is true. Chomer be'esh mi b'bar, in a certain sense, esh is more reason to be chayiv than by bar, she'esh darka leilechu lahazik. An esh damages when on the move. A bar doesn't go on the move. And umuedes lechel beindav aroyla, beindav ashein aroyla, and an esh consumes anything that's in its path. Both things that are ra'ui for it, that you would assume normally would be the victim of a damage, and those that are not ra'ui for it, mashen kin b'bar. A bar is only chayiv on that which is ra'ui to get damaged in a bar, meaning we know that a bar that's less than 10 tefachim is not assumed to have the capacity to kill. So you're not going to be chayiv if a bar that's less than 10 tefachim kills, because it's not ra'ui la, it's not assumed that it has the capacity to do so. So there are certain exceptions that we have by bar that we don't have by eish. So frankly, okay. So now we have all of these. Now that we've compared and contrasted bar, shor, and eish, what each one has over the other, the Gemara is going to say, well, wait a second, did we really give an exhaustive list? Aren't there other chumras that maybe we didn't mention? V'lisni chomer b'shormi v'bar, why don't we mention that one of the reasons that shor should be more chayiv than bar is, sha'ashor chayiv bo'os ha'kelim ha'shein ken v'bar, that if a shor damages kelim, you have to pay. A bar damages kelim, you don't have to pay. So shouldn't that be one of the things, one of the items on the list? Answers the Gemara, Hamani Rabbi Yehudahi, Demachayev al Niske Kelim Bebar. This brisa must be assumed like Rabbi from the fact that it doesn't list Nizke Kelim as a Chomer Bishar Mi Bebar. It must be that we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda that even a bar is Chayev in Nizke Kelim. Frakti Gemara, E Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to say that this brisa is following the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Ema Seifa, but it went on to say, Chomer Be'esh Mi Bebar, She'esh Darka Lelech Lahazik, that a bar does not destroy that which is ain't a roi, is not chayiv for that which is ain't a roi la, only an eish is. Well, davar haroi la maininhu, what is considered a davar haroi la? Eitzim. Wood is a davar haroi la. Davar she'ain roi la maininhu, what would be considered something that's ain't roi la in a bar? Kalim. Apparently, Kalim is Ein Ra'ila. And what do we say? Masha Ein Kain Babar. That an Eish is Chayiv both on Ra'ila, which means Eitzim, and Ein Ra'ila, which means Kalim. Your fire burns and it burns wood, you're Chayiv. If it burns Kalim, you're Chayiv. But then it went on and said, Masha Ein Kain Bibar, but your bar goes and it destroys Kalim and your potter. So Irab Yehuda, Hamin Machaiva Rabbi Dal Niski Kalim Bibar. But if you can say the whole Bryce is going like Rabbi Yehuda, how do you explain that line? Rabbi Yehuda says that you are Chayiv on Niski Kalim and Bar. So how can you say that Bar is different than Eish in that Bar is going to be potter on Eino Ra'ila? Rabbi Yehuda holds Bar is Chayiv on Kalim. You have to say that this price is assuming like the Rabbanan. Why didn't we list one of the chumras of Eish over Bar being Kalim, of Shor over Bar rather, being Kalim? This is simply was Tan of Ashir. We left out some examples. We didn't give every chumra of every one over the other. fact, the Gemara will my shayir da hayshayir. The rule in all of Shas is you can only say ton of a shayir. You can only say we taught some of the examples, but not every single example when you know of more than one example that was left out. If it doesn't make any sense for a brisa to give a whole list and leave out just one example, if it's going to give a non-exhaustive list, so we'll leave out more than one thing. So what else was left out? Says Gemara Shayir Tamun. It left out Tamun, that the halacha is that an eish is pater on tamun. Whatever is not exposed is pater by an eish, as opposed to a bar is chayiv on tamun. And we didn't mention chomer bebar mi be'eish, that a bar is chayiv on tamun and an eish is pater on tamun. What would be an example of tamun by a bar or by a shor? So says Tosfos, shayir tamun de pater be'eish v'shor ubar chayiv. Tamun is something that we left out, that eish is pater on tamun, but shor and bar are chayiv on something that's not exposed, something that's covered up. And Rashi gives the example of Pirush HaKuntros, Kigon Ba'at Shor Besak Malei Kelim V'Shavran. Let's say a shor goes and he kicks a bag full of kelim and he breaks all the kelim inside the bag. You can't see the kelim from outside of the bag, so they're all tamun, they're all hidden. That's an example of shor, that's keren, because it's kavnas alahazik, and it's tamun, and he's going to be chayiv. What's an example of tamun by a bar? V'cheinim nafal bebar sak malei tevua. Chayiv. If a bag full of tevua, full of grain, falls into a bar, and at the bottom of the bar there's this disgusting water that destroys all the tevua, so then that would be an example of a bar damaging bitumen. Says Tosfos that example, that second example, is not actually correct. The reason you are pater, that you would in fact not be chayiv if your bar had a bag full of tevua that fell into the bar. Because v'lo dak, the kalmili delav balechayim mimatim mechamar debar kemo kelim kedam b'sof hapara. Just like we pater kelim in a bar, we exempt anything that's not balechayim that gets damaged in a bar. Only when living creatures get damaged in a bar, people, animals, only then do we assume that a bar is going to be chayiv. So the example of a bag full of tevua is a poor example, Tosel says. Rashi just derech agav, he just, you know, throws it in there, but he doesn't really mean a bag full of tevua. Tosel Rabbeinu Peretz points out, so what would be example of tamun bibar, where we can say that you can be chayiv on tamun bibar? A bag full of birds falls into a bar. It doesn't have to be a bag full of tevua. A bag full of living things falls into a bar. So midin, the living things, you're going to be chayiv, and there is no p'tur of tamun, and that would really illustrate that there is no p'tur of tamun. Iba Yisema, says the Gemara, back in the Gemara, Iba Yisema, Liolim Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe really the Braisa is assuming, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're p'tur on kelim in a bar, and when it says that a bar is chayiv, I'm sorry, that, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're chayiv on kelim in a bar, and when the bar says that, when the brisa says that you're pater on that which is ain a roi la in a bar, v'davar she'ain roi la lav la asuye kelim, it's not talking about kelim, el asuye lichka nira v'sichs chavanav. It's talking about if a fire goes and destroys a plowed field or it singes stones, that's ain a roi la. That's what we're trying to say, that an eish is chayiv even on eino ra'ila, whereas a bar is only chayiv on ra'ila, not on eino ra'ila. So the halach is that you'd be pater in a bar in that case. So says the Gemara further. Maskefla Rav Ashi, what about the following item that was left off of the list in the Braisa? Listni chomer b'shormi b'bar, sha'ashar chayiv bo shor psulei mukdashin, masha'in kein b'bar. We should list that amongst the chomers that shor has over bar is that if a shor damages another shor that's psulei mukdashin, that was something that used to be a karban, but became unfit for a karban, so we repoda it, we redeemed it, for money, you're going to be chayiv. But a bar damages psulei mukdashim, you're going to be pater. Why in the world would you be pater if the bar damages psulei mukdashim? It's no longer hegdish; it now belongs to somebody. So why would we assume that you're going to be pater when your bar damages psulei mukdashim? So Rashi explains, because the pasuk says when a bar damages, that bala bar yishalem, the owner of the bar has to pay v'ames yelo, and the owner of the bar gets to keep the dead carcass. But when the mace cannot be shalo, then there's no chiyuv at all. And the halach is by psulei hamikdashim, even after it's redeemed, you're not allowed to take the carcass and feed it to the dogs. And that's the only thing you could do with a nevela. It died by falling into a bar. It didn't get shechted. So the only thing you would theoretically be able to do with it is throw it to the dogs, but you're not allowed to because it's psulei hamikdashim. So since va'meis yelo doesn't apply, so mele the whole chiyuv in a bar doesn't apply. That's why psulei hamikdashim is not listed over here. So frekta gemara iamrit bishlama rabbanan hi aidi d'shir hach shir nami hach. If we're assuming like the rabbanan that kalim in a bar you're going to be pater from anyway, so once we left out the tamun and kalim, so we leave out this example also. Meaning we already mentioned that according to the rabbanan, it could be that the list is not an exhaustive list, that we left certain things out of the brisa. Eliyam Rabbi Yehuda Maishir Dehaishir. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, we had an explanation as to why we left everything out. So there is no we can't just say Tana V'Shayer according to Rabbi Yehuda, right? If you could say like Rabbi Yehuda, there is nothing Kalim in a bar and Taman in an Eish. Rabbi Yehuda's Mechayev, so there's nothing left out. So says Gemara, no, there is still something left out. Shir Dash Beniro, we still left out if the animal threshes and walks all over newly plowed ground. So Yimushim Dash Beniro Lav Shiruhu, says Gemara, no, that would not be considered a shir. Da'atana Shekein Darko Leilich Ulahazik, because we already mentioned that it has to be Darko Leilich Ulahazik. By Shar, that it's Darko Leilich Ulahazik. So all Nezikin is included in that, including Dash Beniro, is already included in the Darko Leilich Ulahazik element. So that cannot be called an actual Shiur. Tosus over here on the line where the Gemara says that a shor is chayiv bo psulei hamikdashim as opposed to a bar, that if a bar damages psulei hamikdashim, you're pater, but your shor damages psulei hamikdashim, you're going to be chayiv. Frek Tosus vim tomer lomeli shor velo adam. Why do I need to learn by my bar damaging that if my bar damages a person that I'm not going to be chayiv? From a pasuk that it says shor, so I darshan shor v'lo adam. That if a person dies in my bar that's less than 10 tefachim deep, that I'm going to be pater. Why do I need a drasha for that? Meaning we're making a drasha over here that why is it that if my bar kills a psulei hamikdashim animal that I'm going to be pater, because the din by bar has to be that the mazik is allowed to keep the mace to do to the carcass to feed it to the dogs, and by psulei hamikdashim he can't keep the mace. Shouldn't that be a good enough reason to pater a bar from killing an adam? Also, you can't keep the mace, you're not allowed to do anything with a dead human being. You have to bury, you're not allowed to keep it for yourself. So shouldn't that alone be the patur of an adam that gets killed in my bar? Why do I need a Russia to tell me that I'm putter from an adam that gets killed in my bar? I should be putter anyway from the mace hello, just like psulei hamikdashim that the mace is asur bana. We darshan from megla arufa in mesach savod zar that a mace is asur bana. Says Tosos v'im yishum shaseir mutter k'damim perakam darachin hachnami seir shor psulei hamikdashim mutter. If you're going to tell me, well, no, most of a dead human body is asur bana, but the hair of a dead human body is mutter bana. So maybe that's why I need a special drasha to tell me, because I would have thought that I'd still have great value in keeping the dead body that fell into my bar if I could keep the hair of the dead body. Well, since those are the hair of psulei hamikdashim are also mutter bana, you're also allowed to keep. And yet we still consider that ein hames shalom. We still consider it that you don't get to keep the dead body just on account of its hair. So says Tosfos Yeshlomed v'ames yelo mishtayu b'shar v'lomat minei adam, that it dafka is talking about a shor when we say v'ames yelo. We cannot possibly assume that it's talking about adam. And plus, Tosa says, Shor v'lo Adam is still needed for a case of an Eved and a Nachri, who's Kanali Yisrael, that a Mace Nachri is Mutter Ba'ana. The din of an Isra'ana and a Mace is only in a Mace Yisrael. Adam includes all kinds of Adam. It includes non-Jews as well. And that would, strictly speaking, be Mutter Ba'ana. That's why I need a special drasha of Shor v'lo Adam, and I can't just derive it from V'ames Yelo. It's an interesting discussion, though, this idea that the hair of a human being, of a dead human being, is mutter bana. There's discussion in the poskim. Can they use the hair of the deceased to make shetels out of the hair of the deceased? Is a person allowed to use that? The Maram Shik in Yardei Asim Shin Mem Tes was asked about this, and he says that in the Yad Eliyahu in Sim Samach Vav he was matirit, and he says I also think it should be mutter based on Shitas of Poskim that a Mace Nachri anyway is mutter bana. So Mela, these most of the hairs anyway come from Mase Akum, they come from Gayim, so it's be mutter bana. And even if you hold the Mace Nachri is Asr bana, you still have Taisus in our sugya that hair in general of any Mace is mutter bana. So you put those two kulas together, that anyway probably comes from a Nachri, and Rov Poskim assume that Mase Nachri are mutter bana, and even if you assume that a Mase Nachri is Asr bana, it's still only hair, and hair even from a Jewish Mace is going to be mutter bana. In the Tshuva Me'ava, he discusses this, and he says that, you know, he discusses Shetels in general, and he says, you know, I have a new reason to ask for Shetels that no one else discussed, because Chakarti, I did some research, and I found people who make Shetels, where do they get these hairs? And they tell me that most of them come from Mesim, that they're, because from living people don't want to cut off enough hair to make a proper Shetel. The hair needs to be very long to make a proper Shetel, so you got to cut it all the way down to the scalp. Living people don't want to donate that much hair to cut all the way down to the scalp. Dead people don't seem to mind so much. So he says, so the hair mostly comes from Mesim. So he says, Chas v'sholom, you're going to take hair from Mesim? And he says that, then he gets involved in the machlokas, where the hair of a Mace is asr bana, and the Maisi says that we don't have a good enough raya to be matir Mace of Mesei Akum, bahana, and since he assumes, Rov Poskim assume, a guy who's a mace is asr bana, so he thinks that, and Rov Poskim assume, not like Tosos, that Seyar is asr bana as well, that the hair of the deceased is asr bana as well, so that's why the Tshuva Me'ava comes down on the other side of this, says, no way, you're not allowed to use a shetel that was made out of human hair, because the human hair is dead human hair, and we're certainly not allowed to do that. There's discussion in Poskim, what about other parts? Skin of Mesei Akum, can they be used for any sort of Hana'ah? I'd rather not get into that right now. Okay, says the Gemara further now. At the two dots. Hichsharti b'nisko. Shardi b'miktsas nisko. The Mishnah had said that even though I only did part of the damage, I'm chayiv b'tashlumi nisko kechshar kol nisko. I'm still chayiv in paying for the entire damage. So, frek the Gemara, what exactly are we talking about? Tanur Rabbanan says b'raisa, chshardi b'miktsas nisko, chafti b'tashlumi nisko, kechshar kol nisko, ketzad. What's an example where I'm only really partially responsible for the damage, but I have to pay for everything as if I did the entire damage? So we're going to have five suggestions. The Bryce is going to give one suggestion as to what the Mishnah was talking about, and then the Gemara is going to question, well, why not say A, B, C, and D? We're going to have four additional suggestions that the Gemara is going to ask, why don't we say that's what the Mishnah is talking about? So here's what the Bryce says first. Hachover bor tisha, you dig a bor that's 9 tefachim deep, Uba acher v'shlima la'asara, and someone else comes and makes it 10 tefachim deep. Ha'achron chayiv, the last guy who added that last tefach is going to be chayiv. So you see that even though that last guy only did part of the nezek, he only dug part of the bar, he's nevertheless going to be chayiv for the whole thing. Udelo kirebi, and this goes against Rebbe. Titanya chofer bar tisha uba acher v'shlima la'asara. Achron chayiv, that's the Tanakama's opinion that the last guy is going to be chayiv for everything. Rebbe Omer, Achar achron lemisa, achar shneim lenizakin. The last guy is going to be chayiv only when it comes to misa, but when it comes to damage, if a shor gets damaged in the bar and he doesn't die in the bar, so then you're going to split the damage payments. You're not going to say that just the last guy is going to pay. Now, why when it comes to misa, if the shor gets killed in the bar, does only the last guy pay? Because again, that's the assumption we always have, that a bar that's less than 10 tefachim deep does not have the capacity to kill an animal. It only has the capacity to kill an animal once it's 10 tefachim deep. So you did the whole thing when you added that last tefach. You did the entire act of killing. As opposed to by nezek, nezek could have happened when it was 9 tefachim deep as well, and therefore we're going to split the damages when it comes to nezek. So bottom line is, you see that Rebbe says that you're not chayiv in the entire nezek. So this explanation of our Mishnah assumes that our Mishnah is going against Rebbe. Rav Papa Amar Lemisa v'Divrei Hakol. Rav Papa says that we're assuming Lemisa and that the Mishnah, when it says that you've done everything, is talking about paying for an animal that got killed, and that therefore it could even be going like Rebbe. Igadamri lema delok Rabbi. Others have a version of the discussion where the Gemara says, the Brisa says, are we going to suggest that the Mishnah, the Gemara says rather, are we going to suggest that the Mishnah is against Rabbi? Some Rapapa, Lemisa v'divrei Kol Rapapa explains, no, we're not saying it's against Rabbi, we're just assuming that it's talking about Misa, and therefore everyone agrees that the guy who dug that last tefach is going to be chayiv for everything. So that's the case where a person says, I've only done part of the job of destroying something, yet I'm going to have to pay for the whole thing. The case is where I dug that last tefach, that tenth tefach of the bar, and then an animal fell in and died. So I have to pay for the whole thing. Maskeflar of Zera, Vesuleka, are those all the examples you could think of where you do part of the damage and you have to pay for the whole thing? We have additional suggestions. Tulsus raises the question, why do we have to mention every single suggestion? Atutana kiruchla, why to kiruchla lichshavlezel? We're just going to just mention everything that comes to our mind, every example. Why do we have to, since when do we have to mention every single example? So Tulsus explains, it's not that we have to mention every example. It's that the example that we gave is such a terrible one. Because the example that we gave assumes that that either against Rebbe or Rav Papa, and, or like Rav Papa, that it was going the Misa, and it wasn't even talking about damage. And that's a major kimta to make in the Mishnah. Either that our Mishnah is going against Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Anasi, who organized the Mishnayos, that's always a tough kimta, or to assume that the Mishnah that started talking about paying for damages is only talking about if an animal died and not if an animal got damaged. Also, a major limitation on the explanation of our Mishnah. So we're unsatisfied with the explanation that the Braisa gave, and that's why we say, aren't there better explanations of a case where you only partially participate in the damage, but you have to pay for the whole thing? So the Gemara says, what about the following? You give your shor over to five people to guard. And one of them was negligent, and he didn't guard it, and the animal went in and did damage. Chayiv. So that guy is going to be chayiv. Hey, chidami. Well, what's the case exactly? If he was necessary for the guarding, there are five doors and you stationed one person by each door to make sure the animal doesn't escape, let's say. And he went to sleep on the job. So obviously the animal is going to be able to escape through that door. So then pshita, diyukav, then obviously that guy is going to be chayiv because then he really did something there because he knew he was needed for the guarding. Ela debelav ihu nami minter. Well, no, it must be then that the case is that the other four guys could have watched it. He was just had equal responsibility to watch it, but he knew that the other four could have taken care of it. So then my covet, what did he do exactly by abandoning his station if others were guarding his station already? So you can't say that he's going to be chayiv for the nezek in that case. So says Gemara, you're right. That's a bad case. That cannot be what the Mishnah is talking about. So Gemara suggests a third possibility. Maskvar of Sheshes. Vika marba b'chavila. What about a case of marba b'chavila? What does marba b'chavila mean? So Rashi suggests marba b'chavila means that you have a fire. Someone prepares a fire, another guy goes and adds firewood to the fire, so the fire goes on for longer and is able to travel further and it's able to do more damage because you went and you were marbe b'chavila. You added to the fire. The Rambam, Chavul Mazik Perivav, Halach Yadalit says, five people that leave five chavilos ala behema, five packages on an animal and it doesn't die, and then someone comes and puts his bundle on the back of that animal as well, so if it would have been able to go with the chavilos and once you added that extra chavila it was no longer able to move, so then the last guy is going to be chayiv. But if initially it couldn't go anyway, then the last guy is going to be pater. Sounds so. The Magen Mishnah explains that the Rambam's describing his interpretation of marbe b'chavila. The marbe b'chavila according to the Rambam is bundles and packages that you put on top of the back of an animal. It's not talking about feeding a fire, feeding a flame. But whatever it is, marba b'chavila. So it says, marba hechidami. What's the case? Idabalav ihu lo azla pshita. If without what you added, let's say like Rashi, that fire would not have been able to travel and do any damage, well then of course you're going to be chayiv. El deblav ihu azla. Must be talking about a case that without you, the fire would have been able to go and do plenty of damage. Well then, my covet, what exactly did you do? Why in the world would we say that you'd be chayiv in that case? So says Gemara, a fourth possibility. Maskvar of Papa, v'yikah haditani. You want a case where you only did part of the damage, but you chayiv for everything? What about the following braisa? Heishi yoshval safsalechad. Five people sit on one bench. V'lo shavruhu. And the bench is holding up just fine. It did not break. Uba echad v'yoshvalav v'shavru. And then a sixth guy comes, sits down, and it breaks. Ha'achron chayiv. Even though he only contributed part of the weight that under which the bench buckled, he's going to be chayiv. And Rav Papa says, we're talking, assuming that this person is a heavy person. Rashi says, like Papa Baraba, who is a balbasar, who's a heavy person. Say, Echidami, what exactly is the case? If it could not have broken without him, then obviously he's going to be responsible for that payment. But what? So what's the alternative? You're going to say that it would have broken even with the first five guys? Well, then my covet, what did the sixth guy do? He shouldn't be chayv to pay for it. Well, this one we can't just reject and say, oh, it's not mentioned in our Mishnah because the case doesn't make any sense, because this case is actually a brisa. So it's hard for us to say, oh, this case doesn't make any sense. If the bench would have broken anyway, of course he's pater. If he's the one that broke the bench, then of course he's chayiv. This case has to make sense some way, because the Braisa gave this case. It may not be the explanation of our Mishnah, but it's got to make sense. So says Gemara, the case must be, had this sixth guy not come and sat on the bench, it would have broken. It just would have taken 2 hours. But now that he sat down, it sped up the process, and it broke in 1 hour. The other guys could say to him, had you not come and sat down, we only would have sat here for another few minutes, then we would have gotten up and left, and therefore the bench never would have broken. So why can't he say, if it weren't for you guys, I never would have been able to break the bench? Because he leaned on them and he didn't let them get up, and that's how the bench broke. So he can't say any terutzim like that. So that must be the case of the Braisa. Fracting Mar Pshita, then of course he's going to be chayv. No, Mal Detema Kocha Lav Kigufo Dami. One might say that his koach, the fact that he's holding them down with his force, that's not considered his own weight, and therefore he should not be chayv. Kamash Mulan, De Kocha Kigufo Dami. That's why he has to tell me that his koach is Kigufo Dami. De Kalecha, De Gufo Tavar, Kocha Nami Tavar. Wherever his guf breaks, would break his koach also, would break the bench, and therefore he's going to be chayv. So Fracting Mar, last one. Is there no other case where you're only partially responsible for the damage, but you have to pay for the whole thing? What about the following price? 10 people hit a guy with 10 different sticks, 10 different whips. Whether they do it all at one time or one after the other. Umeis, and the guy dies, kulon peturin, they're all going to be potter. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira omer, b'zachar zeh, ha'achron chayiv m'nei shekir ves misaso. When they do one after the other, then the last guy is chayiv, because he very clearly made the guy die more quickly. So don't you see, that's a case where you only did part of the damage, but you're chayiv for the whole thing? Well, b'katala lo kamagri, we're not talking about murder over here, so we'd rather not give that example to explain our Mishnah. Or it could be, we don't want to use that to explain our Mishnah, because that's very clearly a machlokas tanoim, who's Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira against the Tanakama. Says Gemara, v'lo, you don't want to say that it's going that our Mishnah is going like a machlokas tanoim. Vo kaminon de lo karebi, we established our Mishnah to be going against Rebbe, meaning the explanation we did give of our Mishnah was a case of a machlokas tanaim. It was the explanation that we actually gave was where you dug the 10th tefach in a bar, and that was going against Rabbi. So says Mar Dolo Karebi Ukrabanan Mukminan. To say that the Mishnah is not going like a das yachid of Rabbi and is going like the Rabbanan, who are the majority opinion, that we're comfortable doing. But to say that he's going like Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira and not going like the Rabbanan, that we're not so pleased in establishing the Mishnah to be talking about something like that. There is a tshuva nigros Moshe chashmishpach el beis simin yirches. Rav Moshe talks about our sugya where multiple people together do damage, but any one on its own would not do damage in the following context. Someone asked from a yeshiva, from a kollel somewhere, where a lot of the guys like to smoke, and it's bittul Torah for them to have to walk out of the Beis Medrash to smoke. So they all want to smoke during Seder, but a lot of other people in the kollel or in the Beis Medrash don't want the smoke. They don't want to inhale secondhand smoke every day during the entire Seder. So the assumption he works with is, if only one guy was smoking, so then the smoke would dissipate and most of the guys wouldn't be damaged at all. But it's only the fact that everybody together is smoking that causes the damage. So maybe maybe that would be a case where you'd be potter, because you on your own would not have been able to do the damage. So Rav Moshe dismisses it. Rav Moshe says that that's not correct, that each one is a mazik, and that it's absolutely forbidden to do if it bothers anybody in the base medrash. Then he says, but in terms of bitul Torah as the reason, I mean, the guy who asked the shayla said that it should be mutter, it should be usher for the guys to smoke because of the bitul Torah of the guys who don't want to smoke. Rav Moshe says that's not really a good reason because then it's going to be bitul Torah of the guys who do want to smoke when they're going to have to walk out of the base medrash. So bitul Torah is not the reason. It's just stam that you're being mazik. Chayv b'tashlumei nizko. So chavti b'nizko. Okay, we're really out of time already. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll try to catch up a little bit over here and give the different sources that Bailim are metaplim b'nevela. Three different sources of Bailim metaplim b'nevela. Shorter daf tomorrow.